Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970, about an hour away from Tom Likas, Donna Mike at 7. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitzenbarger from Hawaii, who thinks he still has an office.
Are you going to tell him?
No, I'm not.
I will. 50,
thank you. Well, you go ahead. You be the bearer of bad news.
I don't have an office. I have nothing to lose.
Well, I have those things happen to people who dare to go on exotic vacations.
That's
in this
what
business.
I'm saying. You see why I don't take vacations?
At least he still has a job.
Absolutely.
Remember when Ann went on that cruise?
At Intercom?
Yeah. No. And
oh, at Fisher. That's
yeah.
Right. Well, it was when Intercom bought Fisher, or bought KOTK. When we worked at Fisher at KOTK, when Intercom bought the stations, they came in and fired a whole bunch of people. And some of them were left, some of them were kept fired, and some of them were hired back at like a third of their normal wage. That's the way of corporate America now. I fired you. Would you like to come back for a third of what you were making before, with no overtime?
Benefits of any kind. We're management. We have benefits.
Would you like to come back for a pittance? And so Ann, though, the great thing about, and when I say great, I mean terrible about this, is they did it to this sweet woman named Ann, just the sweetest, kindest woman. And they did that. All of this happened on like a Thursday. She was scheduled to go on a 2-week Caribbean cruise on Friday. And it was a whole lot of, maybe you'll have a job when you get back, maybe you won't. Go spend money and enjoy your 2-week vacation, Ann. All right, well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
He's off to jail for the synagogue janitor, 15 years for child porn. They never did a background check when they offered Timothy Olinger that job at the synagogue here in Portland. Well, maybe they should have. He had a history of, well, child abuse in many ways. As a matter of fact, when the cops caught up with him, they found depictions of 1,500 images of children on that computer. He's been fired by the synagogue.
No, I would hope so. Well, that goes without saying.
The synagogue promises to do background checks on the janitorial staff from now on.
Yeah, or maybe just clean up after yourselves. What do you say? Come on. Well, let's take this opportunity to speak to our good friend Jen Roop in Los Angeles. Ow! So loud. You just do that to punish me sometimes.
That time I did.
All right. Why? What am I being punished for?
Because you didn't tell me we were going to the news first, and I was all ready to go with the Jim Roop sound.
I'm sorry.
Lag time.
Hello, Jim Roop.
I did not feel the dead air or lag time, as you call it. I thought it was well done.
It was flawless. No one noticed. Sorry, Sarah's punishing me for things nobody even notices.
She's punishing herself.
Punishing me? No, she's not punishing me. People can't even hear.
Tell her not to kick herself, because that in turn affects you.
That's what I'm saying, Sarah Dillon. All right, you know, blah, 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 blah. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes.
What did you think of Prince?
I thought it was a pretty good halftime show.
It was way better than we were. I was comparing to that Paul McCartney thing from a couple of years ago. What a hideous disaster that was.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones were good last year, and this year, I thought, just because I like the way Prince plays guitar.
And you know what? And the best thing about that is when he was doing the did you hear that, Sarah? Jim loves the way that Prince plays guitar.
Oh, see?
Yeah. When he was behind the silhouetted curtain and he was holding it, it looked like a gigantic schlong.
That's not what I liked, but.
No, I mean, I liked it because it was sort of a big F you to the FCC. It was just sort of like, I know you don't want to boo, but look at my gigantic big phallus. I mean, it was like,
like a double phallus.
Yeah, and he had like, and it was almost like he had a pseudo scrotum on it, too. It was like, it had a weird.
Because he put that guitar on that his symbol or whatever that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a symbol for boron or something.
He's not a stupid man.
No, he isn't. No, his name is Prince, and he is funky. Let's talk about Ryan O'Neal. Doesn't Ryan O'Neal sound like a porn star, first of all? There's some sort of it's like a Miles O'Toole kind of a thing. Ryan O'Neal, okay, explain this to me. Ryan O'Neal, Tatum O'Neal, I don't even know who's related to who, how. Anymore.
Well, Tatum O'Neal is related to Griffin O'Neal. They're brothers and sisters. Griffin O'Neal is the one who Ryan O'Neal fired a shot to scare him out of the house, according to his manager, anyway.
All right.
So that's brother and sister. Ryan O'Neal is his father from his first marriage.
And Ryan O'Neal, I would know from starring in such films as
Love Story.
Love Story. Is
Paper
that him?
Moon.
Paper Moon. Really?
Yeah.
He's Tatum O'Neal's father.
He's got to be like 100.
He's 62, 63, I think.
Love Story. What can you say about a girl who was 23 and died? I'm not. Roll your eyes at me. I've seen Love Story. It's just one of those things where it's like in my head he's eternally like 22 or however old he was in Love Story.
Yeah, he appears on TV shows. I think he's on a Fox TV show now In fact, he went back to work today, so it's a good thing.
Is Ryan O'Neal one of those guys that, like, you know what Ryan O'Neal kind of reminds me of? He kind of reminds me of Timothy Hutton. He reminds me of Timothy Hutton, one of those guys that never really completely lost his stardom, but didn't really ever become that successful either, and probably lives in some sort of bitter, drunken netherworld between being obscure and being famous. You know what I mean? Yeah, all right.
Well, the best movie Timothy Hutton did was Taps.
Taps. And then he did The Ordinary People with the besweatered Judd Hirsch.
Yeah.
So, I don't really care about Ryan O'Neal. I'm reading this right now, and I guess I thought this would be way more interesting than it really is.
Well, the interesting part is that Griffin O'Neal has been a problem just about his whole life. I mean, it was a few years ago that O'Neal knocked a couple of his teeth out, you know, the young punk. And Griffin O'Neal is the one who was in that boating accident that killed Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
Right.
You know, back in 86, I think it was.
Yeah, he sounds like a ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's a B-movie actor. He's in a couple of big B-blockbusters. Don't ask me what the name of the movies are.
Hey, let's talk about Lisa Goddard. Do you know that she enjoys buffalo wings? In addition to knowing He-Man and G.I. Joe trivia, she eats a lot of buffalo wings.
How hot.
And drinks vodka straight.
Oh, good for her.
I'm compiling a little list of reasons why the Rick Emerson audience gravitates towards her, so you can add that to your mental Rolodex as well.
Wow.
Should you guys ever be on assignment together, sort of like Helena Bonham Carter, Michael Keaton style?
I might have to pick up a bottle of Grey Goose and...
That's what I'm talking about. No, you know? Seriously, now see, now we are in our brand new studios here. As of last week, we are now in our new studios here at Portland. We have moved from our Third Avenue studios, which were in... We had a really tiny, bad studio in a really nice, luxurious building. Now we're in kind of a building that looks sort of modest from the outside, but our studio is fantastic. So now the next step is to bring all y'all to town. So I am now, so that's why I'm finalizing completing my dossiers on all of you guys. So that you can live the high life when you join us here in Portland, Jim Roop.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
All right, well, there you go. Well, I thought the Ryan O'Neal thing would be interesting, and then I realized I don't really care. And that his kid is bastard who probably has coming to him whatever he gets. So.
You know, he fired this gun into a banister because his kid was waving a fireplace poker at him.
Yeah, I mean, your kid waves a fireplace poker at you, you know, he gets whatever he gets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you wave a fireplace poker at me.
My opinion, O'Neal missed.
Fantastic. Hey, I'm going to be in, I may be in Los Angeles in a couple weeks. So unlike Sarah Dillon, I will stop in to say hello.
That'd be cool.
I will do that. I can't guarantee that. I'm going to be in La Jolla, but I think I may be in L.A. for at least a day.
You flying in out of San Diego?
I'm flying in San Diego, driving up and staying in La Jolla. But I'm going to try to get to L.A. for at least one day. So if that's the case, I will definitely stop at
Well, as they say in Hollywood, do lunch.
Yes, my people will call your people, Jim Roop. All right, my brother, enjoy your afternoon. We will speak to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, fantastic. Yeah, I don't really care about Ryan O'Neal. I kind of circled that and I said, let's talk about Ryan O'Neal. And then the words come out of your mouth, Ryan O'Neal.
Seeing Farrah Fawcett, right?
If you were a 60-year-old woman, you might.
I guess.
Would clearly be out of our demographic.
I was just going to say, and I realized that I saw Love Story and then never thought of him again. That's it. Done. Who was the woman in Love Story? Was that Allie, what's her name?
Allie McBeal.
Allie. No, who was the woman in Love Story?
We'll have to look it up.
I don't care.
It was a long time ago.
Let's never look it up. Here's Tim Riley.
Say, hear about that cold wave in the Midwest, those poor people? 30 degrees below zero in Chicago? A lot of people go to the hospital with frostbite. What do you do when you get frostbite? Well, Dr. Jeffrey Sparkman...
Oh! Is he from the Cleveland Clinic?
No, he's from Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit.
Oh.
Normally a busy place anyway. He says if you get frostbite, you'll know it.
I think my pot's down.
Oh, it is.
Frostbitten, as opposed to the area that's normal.
You're forgetting why the Hillary Clinton sounder again. I'm sorry, let's try that again.
Okay.
If I had been president I would not have started this war.
Oh, God. It's like having my ears sandpapered.
Oh, are we good? Oh, the frostbite.
Yeah.
Frostbite. Here
you'll see a pretty marked change in color between that area. The area that's frostbitten as opposed to the area that's normal.
That's the frostbite.
There you go. Thanks. I'm glad you put in the hours of effort to discover that 4-second soundbite. But your skin just turns gray and then it falls off, right?
Yes.
That's it. Your skin just sloughs away and, you know, whatever. There you go. Then you're done. All right.
Time for Super Bowl commercials. Everyone gather around the wireless. We're going to pick out the best ones.
Let's.
Nationwide Insurance pokes fun at Kevin Federline's future career.
Super Bowl is always a good weekend, but especially in, you know, South Florida. It's everything's kind of gone up a notch this year.
Someone has the wrong sound, but...
Oh, darn it. You're right. Here's
Nationwide Insurance poking fun at Kevin Federline's future career.
That was karma for the Hillary Clinton thing. Life comes at you fast.
Thank you.
A nationwide annuity could guarantee you income for life.
Nationwide is on your side.
I didn't see it. See, I only saw it online.
I guess you had to see it.
No. I saw it on the internet.
I saw it live during the Super Bowl.
It's funny. It's funny, and it kind of gets me. It does what it was intended to do, which is to get him paid a little bit and to get everybody to not hate him quite so much. So, mission accomplished.
Snickers ad featured two men who accidentally find themselves kissing while eating the same candy bar together.
I saw this, but I can't remember how it goes.
That's theater of the mind.
I think we just accidentally kissed. Quick, do something manly.
What happened? Did he like give him a wedgie or something?
It's the scream that sells that.
I have no idea what's going on in there.
The thing is, and I watched some of these commercials and I can't even remember them.
Well, it was only yesterday.
I don't know. It's gay kissing and pain. That's all that commercial's about there.
Focus on visual.
All right, here's another one, just because you asked.
Fantastic.
Sprint made fun of the multitude of ads for men's health issues.
You know the feeling. You can't take care of business the way others do. It's called connectile dysfunction. Condition caused by inadequate broadband coverage.
It's a penis, sure.
Oh.
Mobile broadband.
Ah.
It works in twice the cities of Singular's Broadband Connect. So you can be you again. Sprint. Power up.
Then Chevrolet used celebrities like Mary J. Blige, Big and Rich, and T.I. to sing songs that feature the brand.
Buy you a Chevrolet. If you give me some of your love.
Holding hands and skimming stones. Had a book called Chevy and a place of my own.
Top is down on the black Corvette. And it's fly because it's sitting on Dayton.
I wouldn't trade on Leroy or my Chevrolet for your Greek parade.
I like my beat down and my top lit. If you see me ride 24 in my Impala whip.
I feel the urge to buy whatever this product is. I can feel bits of my soul flaking away.
I think it's insurance.
I got taxi, call me Jeff Gordon. In the black SS with navigation.
Oh, I already hate whoever these people are.
We're the old Chevrolet. Ain't we got love?
No,
what's going on here?
There's people singing about a car.
Is this the montage of a bunch of commercials?
Right, and there we go.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I love how badass rappers are these days with Mary J. Blige shilling for Chrysler and Jay-Z doing the Diet Coke or whatever.
It's all about being rebellious.
Yeah.
And how sad that the song out of all of those that I recognize is that Big and Rich song. Do you ever hear a song and you realize that you like it and then you realize you can never tell anybody because it reveals something horrible about you? That's... And look, I say this with all due respect.
No.
Listen now. I say this with all respect. I'm so glad we don't work next to couple anymore because sometimes I would hear these horrific country songs and then I would find myself really being into them and really liking them.
Well, just like that Toby Keith, Courtesy the Robot in Blue, I was obsessed with that song. And not because I liked it. It was for all the wrong reasons. It was so terrible, I couldn't stop playing it for everybody.
See, but that's the thing, is there are some songs over there that I actually kind of liked however much I didn't want to. And that Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy song is one of them by Big and Rich. I mean, look, I know. I'm saying it out loud, and I know how it sounds, sir. I know how it sounds to hear me say those words. But it would play, and I would just be in my office kind of going, and just sort of looking around, trying to make sure nobody could see me. All right, let's see. Let's talk to James. James?
Yes.
So you know about this guy who was going to propose to his girlfriend during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I got a little more on it.
All right, so what happened?
I think you're going to love this, actually. Well, first off, he had a website where that the server broke down because so many people were looking at it.
Right.
And so he wrote on that website this morning that he Didn't CBS call them like several times during the first half and said, hey, it might be on, it might not. And then finally they called him and said, it's a no-go. We're not going to do it. We're not going to show it. And so he's like saying now, well, you know, all the people that stayed with him and wanted to do it, wanted to see it, well, he's gonna show it on Veronica Mars.
That's what I've heard. Now somebody's told me that there's a Veronica, but why is there any reason why CBS didn't air it?
Well, I had no idea that CBS did this. I thought they probably already have it all planned out, which commercials would go where.
Yeah.
It sounds like they do it on the fly, and they just decide, like, well, now is like maybe a lot of people are watching the game now. So.
Or maybe it got bumped. Maybe somebody else paid a higher rate, and it got bumped. But, I mean, $2.5 million, I mean, that's a lot of money for it to be bumped by something, especially.
It's very weird. I think maybe they didn't pay the money, and it was contingent on them doing it. So it turns out he's paid for a small ad space on Veronica Mars wherever he lives. He's still remaining anonymous.
Well, I guess, Tom will probably have an update on that today because he had the guy on last Wednesday, I think.
Right.
So, all right, cool. Thank you, James.
Hey, no problem, man.
There you go. That's James. All right, we should do this real quickly, and then we'll break in and have the furry guy in the studio. I've just hung up on somebody. Sorry. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You were talking about my two favorite subjects a while back, the Shield and how much I hate Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Anyway, the Shield, I think he's going to have Mackie die.
I hope it ends on some big, dark, down, depressing note, just because that'll be perfect, because it would be unrealistic to have him just, you know, ending up living in Tahiti, you know what I mean?
Well, I think after blowing up his partner with a hand grenade, things are going to get so bad that eventually he's going to go out in a blaze of glory saving somebody or doing something, but he's going to end up dying.
Oh, that show is so dark, and just when you think it can never get any darker, it does.
Oh, it is just a treasure to watch.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It's beautiful. It really is.
But anyway, Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
I think the reason she'll never and cannot be elected is in the next 2 years, you're going to have to listen to sound cut after sound cut of
why whatever
her screeching.
If I had been president,
the guys won't vote for her because she's that ball-busting creature that they have to go home to every night. And the women won't vote for her because she's that ball-busting boss that they have to go to every day.
Totally.
And that's what it's going to end up being.
Angry boss lady in a pantsuit down the hall.
Exactly. Who makes your life a living hell.
Totally.
And
I don't like this bottled water.
Exactly.
Can we change water distributors?
That's right. Go do my bidding for me, not because it's smart, just because I have the power to make
Seriously,
you go do it.
Everybody has worked for a guy like that, and everybody has worked for a woman like that, too.
And you give it 2 more years of having to listen to her cackle, and it's going to be impossible for her to get...
If only because we don't want to listen to that voice for 4 years.
For 8 years.
Imagine a State of the Union of that.
If I had been president in October of 2002, I would not have started this war.
You may be on to something, my friend.
I think that's the way it's got to go.
Right.
Two more years of this is impossible.
Thank you, Mike.
If I had been president...
Oh, God, make it stop. All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Scotty's typing the screen. Please, get Furry Guy in the studio and out of here. The Furry Guy is hanging with Scotty. There is no green room. There's just the Art Alexakis Memorial Kitchen. So the Furry Guy is hanging with Scotty J in the call screening room. We'll bring him in after the break. And then he'll hug someone. Maybe Sarah.
No, it'll be you, my little pumpkin.
Well, stay tuned for details. 503-733-2970. Don't call me pumpkin. Don't call me Sulu. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.
places, you know, skate.
I seriously feel like this is like the final, song at some prom somewhere.
Oh, yeah, didn't you think it was the theme of every prom the year this came out?
I love this song, I really do. Is this the whole thing?
Yeah.
Make a note that we should finish it later. We should play that whole, like, monstrous guitar solo at the end. 503-733-2970. Why, hello, Becca. Hi, Becca, bringing us a camera.
Thank you so much. Are you going to stick around and see the furries?
Furries?
Yes.
All right. Ladies, in fact, let me just welcome Scotty. Scotty, here now. All right, there you go. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Scotty J, who joins us. Do I have a... What the hell did I even put my Scotty J sound effect? I don't even know where the hell...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
For the love of God.
Where is he? Is
I don't... There's like a...
I haven't seen anyone...
I thought if I typed on the screen. Scotty!
I think he's on the phone.
All right. Hello, Scotty. How are you, sir?
Good.
All right. Are the furries here?
They are.
All right.
Are they in costume?
Well, one guy is.
What are your thoughts on the furries so far?
The like the henchman or something.
What?
The henchman.
Bodyguard.
It's not a bodyguard.
Is he like on a leash or something?
No.
What are your thoughts? And this is your first experience with a furry?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the furries?
I want to kick him in the groin.
Why?
Because it's just something you do.
Okay, now there you go.
Isn't that right, Kim?
That's the word for sex.
Yeah, isn't that right,
Kim?
Well, Kim was a mascot.
Yeah, it's never the same thing, although it is kind of. All right, do they seem normal?
Sure.
What is the suburban?
As far as he can tell.
What is the suburban perspective on furry, Scotty?
Well, we haven't talked much, so I can't really.
Do you keep leaving the room to avoid them?
I can't use. Well, I had him sit in the break room.
All right,
I was busy.
Is that because you didn't want to be near them?
Just
did, they, he, did the guy come in costume?
No, he actually had to change.
All right. So, all right. Are you unnerved by them?
No, not at all.
Really? Would you? You'd
they're,
be okay
they're behind,
with?
They're behind the locked door.
You'd so. Be okay with him hugging you then?
No.
All right. Well, let's make sure to add the furry hug Scotty as well.
Oh, of course.
You, Scotty, you need to break down barriers.
We'll bring him, and they've been waiting.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Would you want to go ahead and get James and whoever his friend is? All right. Well, this is because...
I'm kind of nervous.
Well, here's why this started. It's because Sarah... This is the confluence of two things. Because Sarah decided that I needed to be hugged by a different person every day to get over my fear of love. And then we were giving away these DVDs, this farce
oh
of the...
Oh, my God.
This farce of the Penguins DVD.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, that's a little unnerving. This farce of the Penguins DVD. So entering now the studio is Furry James. Hello, James. Now,
does he not talk?
Does James not talk in character?
None of them do.
Nodding.
He just came to hug.
All right, who is your friend? Can your friend speak?
I'll check when I take off the head.
All right, okay. What's your friend's name?
Cat.
Cat?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
All right.
This is surreal. I feel like I'm in some, like, David Lynch movie.
Okay, Sarah, wait. Here's the digital camera. Can you get some photos of this? Because really, when I say must be seen to believed, to be believed.
It's almost like Christmas time at the streets of tennis court.
All right, hold on. I'm going to put this microphone down for a second out of the way now. This is Sarah, would you set the scene here while I'm taking this photo? All right.
You guys have to hug each other. He's a reindeer. There's a giant reindeer in here.
It could be an elk.
Or an elk.
Perhaps we're doing some photos here.
Black leather.
He claims not to be an elk.
He's not an elk.
Well,
he's a deer.
He'll clarify here in a second.
And he's wearing a black leather vest.
Is that good? Let's do one more.
Okay.
Do one more. All right. Manly elk-like pose.
You look very tough, Rick.
As tough as I can be when I just...
Right, no,
that's a great picture,
Sam.
Oh, we're bringing on the hug.
Yeah. Oh, my God, he's patting Rick's butt.
Okay, and we're
lucky he's going to see his shrink tonight.
Yeah, seriously, let's see, 5 hours.
That is the greatest costume ever.
All right, so... Okay, so James is now taking the head off.
Hi, James.
All right, hi, James.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, so James
is
now...
Oh, James is a handsome fellow.
Hey, can you, do we have the guest headphones, Scotty, over there, the Kobe's behind, sir? Can you grab those for James? All right, so let's welcome now James to the record. Now, James had called up because I was giving away and these DVDs. Now on DVD, Farce of the Penguins, The Sex-Crazed World of Penguins is exposed in this comedic romp that crosses every line, written and directed by Bob Saget and narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. Farce of the Penguins, now out on DVD, rated R. All right, so James called up, and James was like, well, if you'd like, I'll come in and hug if I can get a copy of the DVD. And then I said, well, what makes that very special? And you're like, well, I'm a furry. Now, furries are, just so I don't misquote this, because right. That's one of those things that...
Yeah, I still don't really understand.
Which mic is he on?
He's on 4.
So is that this one?
Nope, he's on... That's all right.
Which mic should I put down? I want to make sure he knows which one to talk in.
Okay. Furries are one of those things that jackhole guys in the media always describe, and they always do it wrong.
Right.
So you are wearing, for lack of a better word, what is like a giant mascot costume, but more realistic.
For the most part, I mean, the people who put on fursuits, you know, go for more realistic, they go for toony, they go for the entire spectrum. I mean, essentially a furry is just, you know, somebody who, you know, likes Bugs Bunny a bit more than the next guy. You know, think of a sci-fi convention, you got like the Trekkies that go out there, and you know, some just watch the show, some go to the cons, some put on the outfit.
Right.
You know, same thing with the furries.
Right.
It's the entire spectrum. I mean, you got right-wing, gun-toting Christian furries out there. I mean, you got the as kinky as you want to get. Or you just got sort of average people that like watching the cartoons and everything like that. So.
Now, is this like a thing about like wishing you were an animal and not a human?
For me, it's most definitely the case. But for other people, it's very different. They, you know, they just like, you know, they like the cartoons. They like the right. art. They like the stories.
So is that, now, is it a thing where when you, like with the costume, is that a thing where, the only analogy I can come up with is, like...
Cuddle party?
Well, I'm not going to confirm the existence of cuddle parties, but...
What's a cuddle party?
Well, seriously, Sam's way more versed in this than I am.
It was sweeping the high society of Manhattan a few months ago.
Well, here's...
I read about it in the New York Times.
You'll hear this thing sometimes, like gender reassignment people, like sex change people will say, like, well, I was born a woman, but I always knew that I was, like, a man inside a woman's body.
Right, species dysphoria.
So is that a thing where you feel like you were supposed to be an animal, but you, like, ended up in a human thing, or you just identify with animals and you wish you could be one? Like, what?
An identification for me. I mean, a lot of people live with masks that, you know, they pretend to be somebody else. They're never really genuine. For me, it's easier to be myself as a furry.
Hey, Scotty, can you switch mics? Can you give him that other mic? We're getting some static on this right here. So when did you, how old were you when you kind of, when you realized that we started to feel that way?
Flash Gordon, I was like 4 years old. Brian Blessed, you know, dive, you know,
nerd.
Yeah.
Fantastic. How much one of these outfits cost? I mean, it looks like it can't be cheap.
Materials cost me about $300.
So did you make that?
Yes, I made all of this myself. Well, not the vest and things like that, but yeah, I made it all myself. It was about $300 and about a year to make. If I actually worked on it, I probably could have done it in 2 months. But, you know, I have a full-time job. But, yeah, it took me a year to make it.
Well, and to be fair, and there's a lot of people would find this weird, but I got to tell you, we have a friend of ours and a guy who was actually one of the ushers at Aaron Geek in the City Duran's wedding who spent 3 years making a Boba Fett costume. Three years and untold hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean...
And it looks awesome.
And it looks awesome. So, I mean, you know, tomato, tomato, I guess.
Yeah.
So, now, but before the... There must have been tough to be a furry before the internet, though, because how would you ever, find anybody?
The internet really did define furry, and a lot of fandom out there is that without the internet, it would have happened at all. I mean, because you got all these little small groups out there that are finally able to talk to each other and find that there are people out there like them. I mean, growing up, I grew up down in North Bend, down on the coast. There was... Nobody. I mean, I thought I was the only person like me. I mean, beyond the fact that I'm a furry, I'm a gay, I'm a bear, you know, all these other things, you know, I was the only one until I finally got on the internet and found these groups of people.
So the internet didn't create this. It was a thing that was there. The internet just sort of brought it to light.
Right. In the early 80s, sci-fi cons, there was always furry offshoots there, but you never really heard of it. There was very much a small subgroup.
Now, the sci-fi people freaked out, or the sci-fi people that they'd like not... Like, to stay over there. I don't get you
wrong. For the most part, because they don't want to be considered freaks, which I find kind of funny.
Yeah, because God knows that sci-fi people are there. That's the normal walk of society.
Yeah,
right,
and if I don't know if you've been to some cons, and you hear about all the stuff that happens in the rooms, Well, that, it, you know, they saw, ooh, look, there, he's doing the Vulcan sign, you know, as opposed to furries where all of the back doors, room stuff got out first before everything else.
Well, that's what people, see, people hear this and they think, and maybe this is right, maybe it's not, I don't know. So people hear of furries and they think that you're either sexually attracted to animals.
All right.
The real animals.
All right.
Or that it's all about having sex while dressed as an animal. So is either of those true or both or neither?
Neither. The thing is that it's an all-inclusive group. I'm not going to say that those things don't exist.
Well, I mean,
not as normal, no.
Generally,
not within Two Sigma, no.
So it's not a thing where like where you feel like this is you have to have this to have sex or something, or it's like a fetish.
No, it's not a true fetish. It makes it better for me, but that's just me.
Now, is it a thing that is primarily in the gay community or is it in the straight community too?
It's all over the place. I mean, the furry con, you'll find one of the most accepting groups in the known universe.
Now, is it sounds one of those, like when you say you're big in Japan, but is this big in Portland, like more so than elsewhere?
Yeah, it's fairly big. I mean, different cities have their thing. You know, the Bay Area is really big. Boston, you name a city. I mean, you're going to find groups there.
How old? I probably already asked you when you said right. you were sort of five when you sort of felt this, but when did you get on the internet for the first time?
And I'm 19.
Well, I've been thinking about dressing up as a stag. If only there was somebody, and then like you saw some webpage, like, do you wish to dress up as a mongoose?
No, I mean, I sort of stumbled across it back in the early days of the internet when, you know, just forming around was something to do in itself. And then it sort of came into me, then I found the name. There's a, Mux were a big thing for this, and multi-user online dungeons.
Right.
That was a big thing, and that really sort of started out in the early days. And that's where I really took off with it.
And so what's the difference between a furry and a plushie?
A plushie would be the same thing as a furry, but they more identify with plush animals. It's like your teddy bear growing up, but you never really got rid of it.
So it's like a fixation on the actual, like, inanimate object.
But definitely, you know, a plushie. You know, Christmas at the zoo is the Holy Grail.
I never really thought about that.
Oh, yeah. Then they cut us weird looks when you go in there, and there's a group that goes in there, but, you know. They have the best selection.
So if you're a furry, what's the Holy Grail? I mean, are there movies that like the furry community rents that you watch in a whole different way than I would?
Any Disney movie.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yes. The Lion King. The slash stories I read on that is stunning.
What about actual mascots? Like a sports mascot.
There's a lot of thing with that, but. Consciously, there's a separation because a lot of people have to make their living doing this with children in front of other people. So we really work hard to just sort of disassociate that.
Right.
Because, you know, they have a job, that's everything. This is for fun, for everything else like that. But yeah, Disneyland, I have some people with some pictures. I actually know some people that work at Disney and... You know, they do this for a living, but they keep it very segmented for that very reason.
All right.
So being a furry, do you find a lot of people associate themselves with a certain animal, or do you just like animals in general? Like, why did you pick to make the...
What is it, a deer? What kind of animal is it specifically?
It's a deer.
And so why a deer?
They're sexy.
And is that a thing
that like, horns?
You just always, that you just always felt? Or is it like, is that the most popular, like, what's the most popular animal, or the most... It's funny, my wife and I were actually having this argument last night. We were talking, not about this, but my wife and I were having an argument about superheroes in the geek community. And right. I was saying, well, like, geeks generally fall behind Batman, sometimes Superman, but it's typically
no,
Batman.
No, not Superman, because he does everything. He's a bad superhero.
Well, and I'm saying, for me, he's a little too Boy Scouty. But she was like, well, I can't believe that there's such unanimity in the geek community. I'm like, no, people tend to fall. So he's like, so what is the Batman of the furry world? Like, what's the most popular animal?
It breaks into two camps. You got the canine and the feline. So you have the fox wolf community and you have the lion tiger community. And those are the two big things. But there's a lot of diversity. I know turtles, dragons, griffins. You know, it's whatever you identify with. And not everybody sticks with one. A lot of people, you know, pick what's the fashionable. Like otters were hot last year. You know, deer have been hot. You know, there's animals that go in and out of vogue.
It's got to suck to be a single furry and be trying to find... You know, be trying to get married since, like, the pool has got to be necessarily small.
Well,
from
it's
which
true.
You're
I mean, my husband, I mean, we're both furries. We both help each other with making the fursuits. And, you know, there are people who have gotten married in their fursuits. We tried, but, you know, Multnomah County, they sent us a refund check.
They were not that.
No, but, yeah.
I mean, it's just got to be so few people.
It's more than you think. I mean, the big con back in Philadelphia had... 2,500 people showing up.
Really?
Is
that just from America or from everywhere?
Everywhere. I mean, there's the conference over in Europe. Let's see, there's one in Chicago, down in Florida, a couple in California. There's one up in Seattle. There's one in Japan, but those are, you know, the smaller ones, the ones down in Mexico.
Do you ever get hot, though? This is a
dumb yeah, I am
you ever
very
get
hot.
Like,
right
you're
now.
There, and it's like, I don't know, some night of passionate Scotty J-style lovemaking, and then suddenly you're just like, damn, this reindeer head is hot.
I got three fans in here.
Really?
Yeah, I have an 80mm and 260mm fans. The ears are vent holes for 260mm fans, and then there's one in the muzzle.
Okay, well, that really is impressive. That really is like full-on Darth Vader design, then.
Wait, hold on.
Damn it, there's a fan inside. That's like NASA technology.
Oh, I should switch this off because I'm going to run out of batteries.
Excellent. All right, well, we're up against it. We've got to take a break. So, well, James, thanks for coming in. Is there like a website or anything you want to give out while you're here? Or, I mean,
no, those who know about it can find it, trust me.
All right. Well, there you go. James, what's your... is it a character?
Yeah, his name's Ojika. It's Japanese for deer. I go by April Stan online, but hey.
All right, there you go. James DeFray, thanks for coming in, man.
No problem, thanks.
All right. The Rick Emerson Show continues after this. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. I'll go anywhere. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Sarah, how do you spell criticism?
C-R-I-T-I-C-I-S-M.
Yeah. Scotty, there's a lot of Z's and C's and S's in that. Criticism, zim. All right.
I love how uncomfortable Scotty J looks.
That was the best part about it, by the way, is you're seeing Scotty just kind of gritting his teeth and just sort of, there's some whiskey waiting at home for you. We'll get, we'll talk to Mailman Chris here in a skosh. Like us up. Did Tim leave?
I don't see him.
Yeah, some things never change. He's back to normal. He's just gone. Gone. The evil is gone from this place. We got like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7 tomorrow. We'll talk to Dennis Spitzenmarker. We're not going to get to the top 5 today, so I know I'm at least one push-up down. We'll get the Scotty J's top 5 lovemaking songs of all time tomorrow. We should make him, hold a picture of the furry while he tells us. By the way, I'd like to point out that, what's his name, James DeFurry, or Naknik, or whatever his name is, his character name, was groping my buttocks.
I saw that.
It was like, because I did the photo of, kind of like the manly sort of,
You're trying to set the...
Kind of look tough. Trying to set the bar.
Set the mood. Yeah.
Totally, I'm like, these are how the photos are going to be, sir. And Rick Emerson respects all lifestyles, but there's certain things Rick Emerson is... just not into. And so we're sitting there, we're posing. I'm like, okay, this is going to be the nature of the photographs. And it's sort of a manly arm around each other, but kind of in a rocking sort of Jack and Tyler kind of way. And then he does the full hug, and then he's kind of patting my ass during that. So that's unnerving. Let's see. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
The saddest part of the broadcast today was that last segment. Listen, I float around all day looking for something interesting to listen to.
How'd that work out for you?
You guys have some tool dressed in a fur outfit, thinks he's Chewbacca or something, wants to be an animal more than a human. I mean, come on. You can do better than that, right? I'm trying to get back into the show since you're back, but, I've got to tell you.
As opposed to the thousands of guys who are out there with Chewbacca suits that they wear at Star Wars conventions.
Well, they're on your show today.
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to get listeners. I'm trying to get into the show, but I just got to tell you, first I thought that was real weak.
Yeah, fortunately, God gave you hands at the end of your arms, so you can change the dial. I see. There we go. That's the mark. That's the mark of a guy with a rock solid case right there.
You know what I'm thinking is that James might have awoken something in that young man.
James.
And he feels a little naughty, so he has to call in and try and bash him.
And suddenly he wants to dress up like a Dalmatian.
We'll give you the email address later, sir.
What about it, Joe? Something about James strike a chord deep within you? Resonate deep inside that body of yours, Joe? A body that suddenly wants to be covered in fur and fitted with a tail and antlers.
I don't give a crap if Joe doesn't find that funny.
Whatever.
An adult man just came in dressed as a deer.
Seriously.
I think that's pretty amusing.
Seriously. And, not my fault you can't figure out how to change the dial, sir. You're not able to work your radio. That sounds like a problem between you and your God. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
I go by Keanu. I'm part of the fur fandom.
Okay.
And I'd like to thank you for respecting our group. You did a great job. Other media outlets would just go for the dark
corners of what we are.
Well, dude, like I said, I went to a wedding just a few months ago where there was a lightsaber honor guard, a guy dressed like Boba Fett who was seating the guests, and they all did a synchronized lightsaber dance to the Cantina song about halfway through.
Ever.
I'm in no position to point fingers at anybody.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, everyone looks, I mean, if you put me in my spectrum, I'm sort of that moderate. I extend the fandom all the way out to my computer and when I'm with real people. I'm out in, I guess you could say, real world or wherever I work, I'm a person.
Right.
I'm not acting like this.
Well, you know, I figured that the Jerry Springer kind of, you know, that's already been done, and, you know, there's no point in me being like the 5 millionth show to go, look at the weird guy, you know, so.
Yeah. And right. I really do thank you guys, you know, this sound kind of weird, but, you know, please, sir, Brendan, please, awesome.
Yeah, what are you going to do? All right, well, thank you, sir.
You have a great day.
All right, thank you. Thank you for listening. There you go. Appreciate it. There you go. He's no friend of Joe's, that guy. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Seriously, and that you would, like, call up and take and sit on hold to tell me about something that you were completely uninterested in, just is illogical. So when somebody calls up...
Stern theory.
Well, totally. That's exactly what it is. The guy takes the time. He hasn't listened in months, apparently. So he takes the time to learn the phone number, call up, be screened by Scotty J, sit on hold all the while to tell me about something he found uninteresting. And he found it so uninteresting that he was able to recite details of it back to me. So
don't let it get you down.
I'm not. I'm just saying your theory is completely correct. That's a guy who's going to go home and engage in some furious self-love while looking at pictures of a rhesus monkey.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
That's what I'm saying. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, other than the first, like, couple minutes, Lisa came on, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes, she did. She came on and revealed that she discussed with her friends over the weekend the fact that she was going to lose points with Rick Emerson because she had spinach on her pizza.
Yeah, because I heard you tease that she was coming on, and then normally she's on for like 25 minutes, and I guess it's a shorter.
Not a lot going on, and we wanted to get to this business of the Art Alexakis unpleasantness from Friday.
Yes, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lisa and Jim, Clyde, and discussion of Prince and the furry and Peter Carlin. No, Scotty J, top five.
Yep. No, it's true. So I'm what? I got two.
One. Just one. Scotty J, top five. Don't think you missed.
Scotty, okay, excellent. Well, let's hear it for me. Fantastic. So there you go. So I got everything but one. So that's not too bad, actually. By my standards, it's not bad at all. All right, excellent.
And I sent you a link where you can see the Metalocalypse episode.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, because that's the thing that I need to watch that show. I need to watch it. I just feel like a tool for never having seen it.
I downloaded them all off of LimeWire, but you can. There's a streaming site where you can watch them. And I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of Dan from New Zealand and his furry.
I have. He sent it to me, actually. Yeah.
I actually resent that to you today. It's on his LiveJournal site, and I copied you that. You can put that on your website.
Cool.
What animal is Dan?
I forget because he's not wearing the head.
Actually, he's in that costume, in that picture, he's not wearing any uniform. It's the guy next to him that is.
I forget what the guy next to him is dressed as. So.
It's like a chipmunk or something.
Of course. All right, thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Well, Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. And guys, this is a little gift from me to you. I'm going to take you out with this email. This is from a woman named Amy. Rick, I couldn't agree more that Purple Rain is the definitive album of the 80s. He was a bright, shining, throbbing beacon of hotness amongst prepubescent boy bands Kirk Cameron and Michael Jackson. It's a good thing that my mother didn't realize what her 8-year-old daughter was actually listening to on her brown and orange Fisher-Price turntable. That album taught me what... Well, you all know what happens in Darling Nikki. What the magazine was all about, leading me to name my most beloved Barbie doll, Nikki. Thanks for reminding me. Cheers, Amy. There you go. That's the little prize you get for listening through the furry segment. All right. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J is our PA, and of course the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Letha Goddard and Jim Root, plus the incredibly high Clyde Lewis and James the Furry for coming in today. Also, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. See y'all tomorrow, my friends. As always, don't let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.